This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I was a little girl when we left. I was 5 years old when we moved there. I had never been to the school in the U.S., so when we moved there, it was kindergarten on through high school. So I was just a little thing when we moved there. I had a few memories of being in the U.S., but by and large, it was the island.
And English was your first language.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went to school, what were you learning?
I had to learn Papiamento, which was the island language that was spoken there. And then all of my schooling after kindergarten was in Dutch, so I had to learn Dutch as well.
So you learned to speak Papiamento and you learned, of course, Dutch. Were there any other languages that you added to your repertoire?
Well, had I paid a little better attention in high school, I probably would have done a lot better. But yeah, I had to learn Spanish as well. And
okay.
I did take 2 years of French, neither of which I can remember much of. But yes, okay. There were a couple other languages.
So your parents put you in a public school. How did you feel about that?
I don't remember much about the first few days, but my mom has told me stories of me clinging to the chain link fence as she drove away the first few days. None of the kids spoke English. My kindergarten teacher did speak some, but by and large, I was just with a lot of kids I could not communicate with. And so she said that it was a pretty traumatic start for me. But once I met a couple of them, there were a few other kids whose parents were with the same organization. So they spoke English, and it was very easy for me to then adapt to becoming friends with other island kids and learning the language. It seems to be easier for kids to pick that up than adults. So
right.
I don't remember struggling with it, but I do remember having some really good friends pretty quickly.
So you went through your entire school career in the Dutch system.
Yes, I did. I was the first American kid to graduate from what was called the HAVO level in high school.
Now, how do you feel that prepared you for what was to come when you reentered back into the U.S. and attended a university?
It was a very rigorous academic program that I did. It was largely based on the European system, so academics were a huge focus. So I think academically I was very well prepared. However, on the other hand, all of my schooling was in Dutch.
Right.
And so when I came to the States for college, I had not had a single day of schooling in English. So to walk into a classroom where I had never been in an experience like that where I understood everything that was going on, but in a whole different language.
Right.
When I was a kid, my dad would sit down to help me with my homework, and it was not very helpful sometimes because he was using language that I didn't get. Even when you're talking about math, sometimes those terms aren't the same. So it was a big challenge to come back, and even though I understood everything in both settings, the whole culture was very different.
Mm-hmm.
The style of schooling was very different. So it was... it was a big challenge for me moving back. I had a very difficult first couple of months, but then really for the first 2 years probably that I moved back were a pretty big challenge for me.
Well, let's talk about what it was like for you to grow up in another culture.
It's one of those things you don't realize what a treasure it is until you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I did not really develop a good appreciation for what I gained from it until I had been in the States for a couple of years. I think that growing up overseas as an American, I learned how to fit in very well no matter where I was.
Mm-hmm.
If I was with local people, I understood the culture, I could communicate, and it felt natural. If I was with Americans or Canadians or any English-speaking population, really, I understood the language, I got the culture, I could assimilate pretty well there too. So I think that was a huge advantage in learning to just how to interact with people wherever they are and to how to meet them where they're at.
Did you ever sense living in a fishbowl or things were slightly different for you because of being in a Christian organization?
At times, yes. One of the things that I felt growing up, even though my family was not wealthy, compared to a lot of the families locally, because we were American, we were seen as being a higher class. And so there were times where there was some resentment from my peers who said, oh, well, you're American, you can't understand.
Mm.
And so there was kind of a disconnect there where people had a perception that wasn't necessarily accurate. The time I would probably say I most felt like I was in a fishbowl would be when we would come back to the States, though, for furloughs. Very brief periods of time, for probably 3 or 4 months, we would come back to the U.S., have a whirlwind tour of churches, family members, hit an amusement park or two, and then go back home. And it was during those times that you were almost on display at all these different churches. And don't get me wrong, wonderful people. I have a lot of great memories. And were it not for a lot of these churches, you know, we would not have been able to go overseas. So I'm very grateful for it. But it was difficult as a kid to constantly have to be on your best behavior and always smile and always play nice with others. And that, I think, was probably when I felt the most difficult, was when we came back.
I can understand that. I remember asking my son if he would stand up in front and give a greeting in each language.
Yep.
And his response was, "Dad, I'm not up for display." And did you ever experience that, or were your parents smart enough to say no?
No, my parents would never. They did never put us on display. They never forced us to do anything, and they never even really. Every now and then, we would do some things as a family, but inevitably, at the end of every church service, somebody would ask that, say something in another language, and of course, we would get up and do it because it was the polite thing to do. But yeah, I hated that too.
I know that I've heard comments or. I guess we tend to think we hear comments from people who are living in our passport country, and it's almost as though they feel sorry for our kids growing up in another country. If somebody said that to you, how would you respond?
I personally had a fantastic experience. I would not trade in living overseas as a kid. I think I gained a lot of insight into other cultures. I think I gained a lot of insight into myself. I think it equipped me to be more flexible in life and to be more accepting in life. And I would not trade that. I think it's a valuable experience. Do I think it always goes well for every family? No. I think that life circumstances and different things can happen, and it's maybe not a fit for some people. But my personal experience and that of a lot of people I know has been very positive, and it's something that I value very strongly.
What are some of your favorite memories of growing up on Bonaire?
Favorite memories. I have a lot of really good memories, and this may sound kind of funny, but at the airport, anytime people would arrive back home from furloughs or new people would come, The whole organization, it seemed, would show up at the airport, and it was like a big family reunion. And I have really good memories of standing there watching people go through customs, waiting to give them a big hug. That was a lot of fun. And of course, for anybody who knows anything about Bonaire, it's a teeny tiny little island with beautiful beaches. And of course, I have a lot of memories of being on the beach with friends, with family, and just relaxation. When I was a teenager, sometimes I would just go to the beach by myself and just sit and think and cry or pout or whatever it was that I felt like doing at my teenage girl stage. And just being by myself on the beach was wonderful memories. When I was little, we had a pretty good sized staff, and our staff at the organization got a little smaller through time. But when I was little, it was huge. And we would have family nights and church activities that were just like big old-fashioned barn raisings, and everybody would get together, and it was a really tight-knit community. And it was some of those memories that just really gave me a sense of being rooted in the community there.
Now, you mentioned church. Was the church basically for the staff, or were there other people who could attend?
It was the only English-speaking church on the island, so the bulk of the people who attended when I was young were staff members of the organization. Now, as I got into my teen years, it started expanding, and we had a good number of local people who would attend then, and it kind of grew into a different there was a different ownership of the church. And if you go now, there are actually very few of the people from the organization who attend. And it's mostly people who are Bonairean or who are in some other way connected to the island who attend and really have just kind of taken ownership of the church.
Now, growing up as a kid of parents who were working with Trans World Radio, did you have any sense for the ministry and what was going on? Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, how you perceived what your organization was doing.
I knew what my parents did job-wise. I knew, you know, the day-to-day nitty-gritty details of what they did. But I also knew that for my parents, it wasn't just a job. Mm-hmm. What my dad did was pretty dangerous. He was actually a tower rigger. So he was on the radio towers every day, sometimes 500 feet in the air. It was a dangerous job. There were several times where there were near accidents, and I knew my mom would worry, but they did it because it was more than a job, and they did it because it was part of their faith, and that was what they wanted to share. And so all growing up, I knew that this was something very important to my parents. And so through seeing their dedication to it, it really was something that was very important to me. And when I was a teenager, it wasn't always, I didn't always necessarily agree with them. Were there times I resented them for doing that work? There were, but I was very impressed by their dedication to it. And I think that through the years that has stayed. My parents are no longer on Bon Air, but they're still involved with Transworld Radio. And to see anybody stay in one job for more than 20 years nowadays is very unusual. But to see them in a ministry that is about more than just money and about more than just a career, but is about sharing their faith with other people, that is, to me, a huge story.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media, and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.